الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون عدوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. وقال تعالى: وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب. وقال تعالى: وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Anyone here who is born in Wolfersbeck? All are from outside. You are born in Wolfersbeck. The rest are all from outside. So can anyone tell me, from those brothers who are from outside, why have we come to Wolfersbeck?
Well, we're there for different reasons. Probably they have different reasons. Myself.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Personally, there was a masjid being built in Oshikate, and I was asked for donation. And then I gave donation, which I could, and the man came back with a check, and he said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he built masjid with his own hands. You think you can just give the donation? And, ya Allah, 3 days after that, we packed up and we left. To build the masjid in the north state.
Where in Oshakati? Then what brought you to Wolfersbeck?
Masjid was being built here.
So you came in?
Yeah.
Anyone else can say why you've come to Wolfersbeck? I suppose most of the brothers are from Cape Town. Imam Sahib, you are from Malawi?
No.
Oh, mashallah. Where you studied? Madina Tul Munawwara, Jamia Islamia, mashallah. See, we all have come here. Most probably, everyone knows his own reason why he's come, but most probably to earn our risk. Imam Sahib came here for the khidmat of deen, to serve the deen, make imamat, etc. But otherwise, normally, people in the whole world will go from one place to another. We are Indian people. We came from India, our forefathers. We are born in South Africa, but our forefathers came from India to South Africa for greener pastures, more to earn more dunya, for a better lifestyle. So generally, that is what is happening in the world. People go to Europe, people go to America, to any many other parts of the world. Mostly it is to earn a better living, to where there are greener pastures. The people flock there. That's normal. So we should consider that why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in this dunya? Why have we come here? Is there anyone who gave thought to that? That I am here in this dunya, I didn't come on my own accord. I didn't make application, I want to be born, I want to be in the world. We were born. Just we didn't have any choice in the matter. We were born. We came in this world. Now why are we here? It's a very, very important question that a person must think. Like for example, you're working for a company, very big company, international company. They send you to Walfers Bay and they give you a dossier, a file also, that you must study this. And when you get to Walfers Bay, you must study this here. And they make arrangements for a house for you to stay in, for all your necessities, for everything in the house, your food, your living. They give you transport, they give you a car, they give you everything. But why did they send you? It's written in that dossier, in that file. Now if you don't even open the file, you came here to Alphas Bay, you've got a nice house, furnished everything, and they're giving you every month $20,000, $30,000, whatever it is. They pay you also so well. And you didn't even open the file to find out. And you are spending your time. Then after 10 years, 15 years, they call you Kakati. We said you, now we want a report. Are the ladies listening from you?
No, you're
not here
from me. Jane? No, but the
voice is... Any other ladies came? No.
My wife is
there. Your wife is there. Oh. If they are listening, then give the mic. Then they can hear properly. Jee. So the company called you back again after 10 years, 15 years, and now they say, we 10 years we're giving you $20,000-$30,000 every month. And did you do the work what we sent you for? You asked them what work. They say, but we gave you that file, we told you, you must study that file. All your work is written in there. You didn't even open the file. You didn't do one bit of the work for which the company sent you. Now they will want their money back from you. 10 years you worked, you stayed, and we paid you so much, you didn't do anything. If had you opened that file, that dossier, you see, there they said, we want to open some other company there in Walvis Bay, like the company we got from which country you came. And we want you to even promote the company. You must establish the company. You must promote the company. People must buy from there. All this you had to do. But you didn't study it at all. And there's no company in the world that will pay you for 10 years and don't check up on you whether you're doing the work or not. First month they see you're not doing the work, they fire you off. So Allah Ta'ala sent us also in this world. We didn't come of our own choice. Nobody made application or sent the CV that I want to go to the world. And Allah sent us, gave us a file also, the Quran Sharif. For what Allah is sending us in this dunya, for what purpose Allah gave us the Kalamullah, the word of Allah Ta'ala. And in there Allah stated clearly why I'm sending you into this world. For example, one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man, but for one reason, that they must worship me. And the meaning of لِيَعْبُدُونَ, great, great mufassir of the Quran, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, are the great mufassir and have said the meaning of illa liya'budun is a illa liya'rifun. That why I'm sending you in this dunya, you must recognize me. You must know who I am. So that was the first primary thing that we had to know Allah Ta'ala. Who is our creator? Allah Ta'ala is the one who has created us, who has made us. And if we think, and the greatest proof of the existence of Allah Ta'ala, and the greatest proof of the greatness, the existence and the greatness of Allah, the knowledge of Allah. Today we are, just Maulana was talking, he says today everything is with technology. I asked him about the ladies, I said, Maulana's wife, she won't be here to listen. He said, babies are small, she won't be able to come. But with technology, live streaming, she will listen at home. In the whole world, they are listening with live streaming, all technology that there is. And all this year, we have seen this technology. We know what the computers can do. We know what all technology can do. But Allah's Qudrat, the greatest proof of Allah's technology, Allah's greatness, is you yourself, O insan. Did we ever think that how Allah Ta'ala made our two eyes? With the two eyes, we see everything in the world. But ask ourselves, today I may be 60 years old, 70 years old. Did my one eye see the other eye? They are so near one another. But the one eye didn't see the other eye. They are seeing everything in the world. But they haven't seen one another. With this eye, the sun, which is how many times much, much, much more bigger than the earth, the whole earth. The sun is very, very big. But the whole sun comes, the picture of the sun comes in the small eye. The world is so small, how many worlds won't fit into the sun? And our eye compared to the world is nothing. What is the size of our one eye compared to the whole world? But with the small eye, Allah made it, you can see the whole sun. You can see the whole mountain, huge, huge mountains you can see. But that one dust of the mountain, small speck of the dust, comes in your eye, now you can't see anything. How Allah Ta'ala has made it. The eyes, our mother and father did not make our eyes. If they could make eyes, then they should have the most beautiful eyes. And our parents shouldn't wear glasses if they knew about eyes. They should give us the most perfect eyes. But they themselves, they don't know how to make eyes. And no optician or optometrist knows how to make eyes. There is only Allah who has made. And this whole human body, Allah has made it in the womb of the mother. That womb of the mother, which was so small, in there Allah made this whole human body. And Allah's system, for example, this mic, whichever company makes the mic, they only assemble it. This whole top part, that is made by another company. This bottom part is made by another company. The switch is made by another company. There's a screw, there's another factor, company that makes screws. They just gave them specifications, we want it like this, they assembled it together. And that's all. But the human body, the human baby which is made in the womb of the mother, it's not parts that are assembled. The mother never experiences that an angel comes with two eyes from the eye factory, or with two small ears from the ear factory, or two small little hands from the hand factory, and then it's assembled in that womb of the mother. No, every part is made in there. And every part is in that one drop of semen. And to make a human baby, you don't need a whole drop of semen. Just a little bit of that semen also mixes with the female, with the mother's semen. And then the whole process of the factory of Allah Ta'ala starts working. And in there, Allah Ta'ala makes from that one drop of semen. Today we are very amazed at a check, that in one check, what information is not kept there. You just swipe a credit card and all the details comes there. What details don't come on there? Your passport, just scan it, or your ID document, and your whole history has come up there. So we get amazed with that. But in that one drop of semen, Allah Ta'ala has kept the material of the skull bone. And that also we should think, Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, how great it is. Many times we tell somebody that you have too thick skull. Your skull is very thick, you can't understand anything. But that is Allah's ni'mat. If the skull wasn't thick and just anything falls on your head, your brain will get damaged. Allah Ta'ala made the skull thick also and made it strong also. If our skull was weak and it was flimsy like a tissue, and anyone just steps you also, your brain should get damaged. How Allah made it that in that same drop of semen, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala put the material of the brains also. The brains, sometimes we see in pictures, if you Google it or something, you look in an encyclopedia, you'll see how the brains are very soft and delicate. But what is that brains are doing? Who made all that? And then Allah, if human being all together, 6-7 billion Muslim human beings in the world, if they all together made one human being, they cloned one human, they will make a big noise of it. Allah Ta'ala, according to World Health Organization, 250,000 babies a day Allah is making. They are getting, production is completed of 250,000 babies in the world. They are being born every day, 250,000 brains, 250,000 hearts. The material of the heart and the material of the brain, two completely different things. Then to protect the brain, the skull. To protect the heart and all the other very vital organs. You got your lungs here, if your lungs get punctured, you got your kidneys, you got your liver, all these little malfunctioning. And you're a sick person, you're lying in hospital. You'll be standing by the hundreds of thousands for one thing. But Allah gave it to us all free of charge. And Allah kept the rib cage. The ribs are thin, but Allah made them so strong, they are protecting our heart. They are protecting our lungs, they are protecting the liver, the kidneys, all that Allah Ta'ala has made it, that it has to be protected. So Allah sent us in the world to recognize Allah Ta'ala. If a dog gets a piece of bread from your dog, it's loyal to that dog. Every day it will come and sit there, that I get my bread from there. It's so loyal. We get everything from Allah, but we don't come to His house. No. We are not loyal to Allah Ta'ala. We don't take His name. And He gave us the dossier, the file, for what I'm sending you in the world. We don't open the Quran Sharif. And the Quran's miracle is, even if you don't understand Arabic, but you read it every day, the miracle of the Quran, the message of the Quran will come in you. You won't be able to explain somebody else. But if you're an Ali, you know Arabic also, you'll be able to benefit yourself. You'll be able to tell other people also. So we don't even open that file that Allah has, and has given everyone. I'm sure every one of us got a Quran Sharif. Is there anyone here who hasn't got a Quran? Is somebody here? Sir, we all got Quran Sharif. Otherwise the masjid, the shelves are full. How many Quran Sharif? But we take out 2 minutes in 24 hours to read Quran Sharif. And how many of us? Do we take out 5 minutes out of 24 hours? And all the 24 hours, it's not just it's happened, Allah gave us the 24 hours. If I'm living for 50 years, 50 years times 12 months every year, or 560 or whatever it comes to, and out of that 12 months a year, every month 30 days, every day 24 hours, every hour 60 minutes, every minute 60 seconds. All the time is not we just got it. Allah gave it. It's like an amanat, a trust. If, for example, the masjid is functioning here, alhamdulillah, people must be donating also to the masjid to pay the water, to light, to pay the imam, the muazzin, and all that money, if the person who is in charge, he doesn't use it right. He uses it for himself. We'll say, oh, very, very bad this man is doing. We'll take him out of his post also. The masjid is for Allah. For the masjid, the people gave money. Money must be used in the masjid. So Allah gave us the time, not for us to use it as we want to. But Allah gave us this time that we have to use it how Allah wants us to use it. Like the masjid money, the mutawalli, the chairman, whoever is in charge, he can't use it how he wants to. He must use it now for the masjid. For painting if it's necessary, renovation, maintenance, paying up all the expenses, all that he must, you will use it for that. So Allah gave us our time, and time is a capital. Like you start a business, you have 20 million capital. 10 million capital, you start a business. Yeah, the capital of time is more valuable than money also. Money, you can lose it. You can again regain it also. Health also. Many people become very sick, and it looks like they're going to die, and we're just waiting for the news that the man is dead. But he gets better, and he's more better than before. But time can never come back again. Time that is gone, 1 minute, 1 second, every day in the morning, when the sun rises, there is one angel, a malak, who announces that today, like today, the day that has passed, was the 9th of Rajab, 29th of April, he announces this day has come once in your lifetime. It will never come back again. And today you got your 24 hours, these 24 hours will never come back. Tomorrow fresh 24 hours, if we're living for tomorrow. But they will never come back again. It's only this time, once in your whole lifetime, this day has come in your life. And try and do the best that you can. One person writes very nicely, he says, time is passing by motionlessly. We don't see time is moving. Nobody can see time is moving. It's just moving. All the time is moving. If we see in the watch, the second is moving, or the light is all the time going on and off. We can see, but if we got no watch, it doesn't mean time is not moving. Time is moving on, but we can't feel time is moving. We can't see time is moving. But if we don't move, we're going to be left behind. We must move. And what we must move to do? Not for dunya, for akhirah. That is where we are going. A person, if he chases dunya is going behind. Hey, if I'm living for 60 years and 40 years of my life is gone, 40 is gone, I only got 20 in front of me. I must prepare for the 20 which is, and all the 60 years what Allah has given me is to prepare for my akhirah. It's not to prepare for dunya, it can never be. It's totally illogical that a person works so hard for dunya. How many people are complaining they have to work 7 days a week? From 7 in the morning to 7 at night they are working. 7 days a week. No time for their family. They say we have to go in Tabligh Jamaat. No time. We don't get off to go. We got no time for anything. And we are just working all the time. So, and when you die, all you worked for, you leave it behind. That can't be a logical situation. That you, for what you work and give your whole life, all that you must. If you're working for akhirah, your whole world, your whole life you work, and when you die, you go to akhirah. For what you work, you're getting what you worked for. Not that you are leaving it behind. So we, dunya is going behind us, and we are chasing the thing that is going behind us. If there is a roadblock, and the police stop you, traffic police, and you, something of yours is not right, you haven't got your license, or you've got something illegal in your car, or whatever, and you drive past the roadblock, the police will never be so stupid to chase behind you. How can they? They chase you. But dunya is going behind us and we're chasing dunya. What's going behind us? And what's coming in front, that we're not chasing, we're not worried about akhirat, about our maut. Maut is coming in front of us and we're just turning our face away from maut. And we are chasing dunya all the time. So the first thing we have to try and understand, just like we have come to Walters Bay, there is a reason. Our Imam Sahib from Malal, Mangochi Manan, mashallah, he is a chambuta. He's from Malawi, yeah. Now if he doesn't come make imamah, he's sleeping whole day, or he's in the shops whole day, we'll say, no, imam is not here, what's wrong with imam? Imam has to be here. So we are in this dunya for a purpose also. And now what is that purpose? Allah told us what is that purpose. He put it in the file for us and He gave the file to us. He gave us the Quran Sharif. We are here first and foremost. And if we all try and understand this, is for recognizing, knowing who Allah is. That's our first farz, to know who Allah, marifat of Allah, recognition of Allah, tawheed of Allah. Allah is one alone. He has created the entire world. He controls the whole world. So have we got that in our minds, inshallah? That we are here in this world, not for earning and death, like that company gives you $20,000 a month, but they can't give you eyes. That company can't give you eyes. If your eye has to get damaged in a motor car accident, in a shooting incident, your eye is gone. Forget your company, all the doctors of the world, the whole medical industry of the world can't give you your eye back. And Allah gave you not one eye, two eyes. And free of charge. Allah didn't charge you 1 cent. Allah didn't charge you $1 for one eye. He gave you your eyes free of charge. Everything. But there is a charge from Allah. And what is the charge? To recognize and appreciate. And say, Allah, you gave me this eyes here. And then to use them for what Allah gave it to us. Not to use it to go and see porn. Not to use it to see other women. Not to say, use it to see filth and dirt, but Allah gave us this eye to see the Qudrat of Allah, to see the Quran Sharif, to read the Quran Sharif, to see our way to the masjid, to go to the masjid, to go to the Baytullah Sharif, go for Hajj, go for Umrah, go for Ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For that Allah gave us all this, not just for us to use it as we want to. If a person, he hires somebody to wash his car, he gives him soap powder also, and he gives him shampoo also, he gives him tire polish also, everything he gives him. Yes, my car, wash it, I'll give you $20 or $30, whatever it is. And he brings his own car, and he washes his car with all your material. You gave him soap, you gave him shampoo, you gave him tire polish, and he uses it for his car. And after he's finished, he said, boss, I'm finished, pay me my $20. Hey, you'll be so angry with him, you won't even want to waste your energy on kicking him also. I gave him everything for my car. My car is dirty. And he washed his own car. Just like that, Allah gave us everything to recognize Him and to worship Him. But we do everything for ourselves. Making a nice house that we are worried. Having a nice car, nice food, nice holidays, everything, nice clothes. We just worried about ourselves. And for what? Allah is our real boss. Yeah, we might be working for somebody, that person is your boss. But he's just a small little boss. The real boss is Allah Ta'ala. So that's the first thing, if we can understand, we have to recognize who Allah Ta'ala is. For that reason, Allah Ta'ala has put us in this world. The second is, which also in the same ayat, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. When we have learned who our boss is, and we have recognized him, that our boss don't need to monitor you, and he sees on the screen whether you are working. You are working in the warehouse. The boss is sitting in the office, but he got a screen there. And the cameras are there, and he can see whether you are working or not. That is only technology of today. But Allah from before, since ever, Allah watches us all the time. And that camera can only see what you are doing outwardly. But what you are thinking, the camera can't capture that. What is in your heart, the camera can't capture that. Allah knows what you are. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows everything, what is hidden in the eyes, what is in the heart. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. So Allah's cameras are on us all the time. So Allah created us and gave us everything so that we worship Him. We are obedient to Him. And in the obedience of Allah, the most important is our 5 times salat. In our practical show that we are obedient to Allah is our 5 times salat. And that also Allah tests us. One salat, fajr, before the sunrise. Allah wants to see whether you are enjoying your sweet sleep that time. And it is cold to get up in the morning. And there is only one masjid in Walpers Bay. And it's far also. Am I going to make it and reach there or not? Allah is testing us. 1 o'clock, Zohar time. Hey, that is lunchtime in many cases. Now you are nice and hungry also. Allah is testing us to see whether you will come and fulfill His command or you are going to go and eat and just worry about your stomach. Asr time is a busy time. Traffic is heavy. And you are closing up shop. You are closing everything. Are you more interested in that or are you more interested in the worship of Allah? Maghrib again, you are hungry. Are you going to make your Maghrib first or are you going to eat first and miss your Maghrib? Isha, you are feeling tired now the whole day. You want to sleep again. Allah test us. And Salat, Allah gave us that way that we can connect with Him. And that can only happen if we have recognized Allah. One person makes Salat, but he doesn't know who Allah is. He's making his Salat, he's fulfilling his Farad. But that Salat, the value of it is very little. And that Salat you are making and you know that you, who you are making for. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. It is in your heart. Allah is the greatest. My shop is not the greatest. My job is not the greatest. My desires, my enjoyment, my soccer, my sports, all these things are not. Allah is the greatest. When that reality is in the heart, and when you lift your hands and you say Allahu Akbar, you are throwing the whole world behind you. And only Allah is in front of you. 2 rakats of salat like that is much more valuable than 10,000 of salat in which you are not even thinking about Allah Ta'ala. The adhan we hear, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. 4 times we hear that the east, the west, the north, the south, everything Allah is the greatest. The basic chemicals of the world, of everything what is made in this world, now scientists have broken it up into very many more things. But the basic chemicals are 4. Fire, water, air and sand. These are the 4 basic. More greater than these 4 things, Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. So this 4 times we hear. And then this reality, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That the tawheed, the oneness of Allah must come in our hearts. That no shirk with Allah. That my shop is giving me my result. My rosy. No, Allah is giving me my rosy. It's not the wife that is cooking and she is feeding me. It's not the husband that's earning and feeding the wife. How many wives have passed away? Doesn't mean all those husbands are dying of hunger. No, Allah will make another means. Peter is Allah Ta'ala. And Allah will choose how many wives, their husbands have passed away. Doesn't mean they are dying of hunger, nobody to feed them because the husband died. No, in fact more. In fact, when a person passes away, the wife or the husband, and we think now who's going to earn? But on that same day that he died, so much food in the house. Everyone is bringing food. You were thinking that the doors of risk are closed now. But on that day, you don't know where to put the food. You don't know who must you give it to. So much of food. And all the widows are not dying of hunger. Allah is seeing to them. Allah will make the arrangement for everyone. Otherwise, how many times one motor car accident? Hey, the mother, father both died. 2, 3 small children. Everyone say, what will happen to these children? Who will look after these children? But they grow up. And many of them grow up such children to become millionaires in the world. In fact, Shaddad, he built his own Jannat in this world. He read in the scriptures of before, the kitabs of before, that how beautiful Jannat is. And he built a Jannat of his own in this world. And not only did he build, in the money of that time was gold money. Coins, we have today dollar, you have it in the coin also, $5 also I think. And all that you have, and that is made out of metal, or just some metal. Those days it used to be pure gold, it used to be. But in order to build that Jannat of his, he changed the system of the currency into leather, leather coins. Hey, and we might think that what is leather coins? Today we got paper notes. And this paper means nothing whatsoever. It wasn't long, every government in the world used to write on that paper notes, the governor, the finance governor, I promise to pay the bearer of this note on demand so much in gold he should pay. He should promise. Now that also is not written. It's only paper. And the government can at any time just cancel that, that denomination. Cancel that, and it happened in many countries. That,
The promise.
Now no more promise also. The promise was also just in ink. There was no real promise. Now the promise also doesn't exist anymore. So what he did? Anyway, he built this whole Jannat. What all, how he could, who can build a Jannat like Allah Ta'ala? Impossible, you can never do that. But in his mind, he built his Jannat. Then Allah Ta'ala sent Malakul Maut to him to go and fetch his ruh. His Jannat was just complete. He hadn't entered it still to go and enjoy it and stay in it. And he was about to put his one leg into, enter into this Jannat, this beautiful garden that which he had prepared. And Malakul Maut came in front of him. And told him that if you believe in one Allah, then I'm prepared to allow you, Allah told me, to go in and enjoy this. But if you are not prepared to believe in Allah, I will take your ruh, your soul right now. Hey, and he thought he's Allah himself. I built my Jannat. He said, I'm Allah. Where is Allah? There is no other Allah. And he died and he couldn't even enter his own Jannat which he made. So all our things of this dunya, Allah gives us. And we can enjoy, no problem. But within the limits which Allah has set for us. Not out of that limits that we forget Allah. That a person goes to the condition that he doesn't even believe in Allah Ta'ala. And he thinks he is doing everything. So salat is that connection with adhan. And the message in adhan is of tawheed. And then the whole of namaz is a connection with Allah Ta'ala. And salat is that ibadat which Allah gave us, which is the collection, the majmu'ah, the sum total of the ibadat of all the angels. There are those angels who are only standing all the time. Like we stand in namaz, Their whole life they're only standing and singing the praises of Allah. There are those malaika who are just in ruku the whole life. Others who are only in sajda their whole life. Others who are just in a sitting position. Like when we read at-tahiyyah, they're just in that position. Allah in 2 rakats of namaz for this ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave the combination of all the ibadat of all the angels in 2 rakats of namaz. 2 rakats take you about 2 minutes to read, 3 minutes, whatever, very little time. But in that, you have made the ibadat of standing. The ibadat of ruku, the ibadat of sajda, the ibadat of tilawat of Quran, the ibadat of the zikr of Allah, the ibadat of dua also comes in. All that ibadat. Then the creation of Allah Ta'ala. The trees that are standing, they are standing in front of Allah. Qiyam. Like we make qiyam in salat, the trees are standing. All the four-legged animals, cows, camels, etc., horses, they are all in ruku all the time. And all the mountains, etc., they are in qu'ud, in a sitting position in front of Allah and singing the praises. And all the other things that are on the ground, like snakes, ants, etc., they are in sajda all the time. They are also making Allah's ibadat all the time. The ibadat of the whole creation of Allah, Allah gave it to us in two rakats of namaz. What a great combination. And of all the ibadat of the malaika, the tasbih, the tilawah, the zikr, Allah gave us all that in two rakats of namaz. So, salat is the thing that after we have recognized Allah, now the work we have to do to please Allah is the ibadat of Allah. And for that Allah has sent us here. That we make the ibadat of Allah. The salat is the most important. Then there is siyam, we coming to this Rajab already, Shaban and Ramadan. Then for siyam, so Allah Ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan, we should fast. And fasting also we should understand is not to stay hungry. There is a great difference between staying hungry and fasting. Like we find many times, prisoners who are in the jail, they go on a hunger strike. Why? Food is not good enough. They are in a prison. They did wrong. They are criminals. But they are demanding good food. And they go on a hunger strike. And the government have to give in and give them better food. What they are asking for, they have to give them. Also, yeah, one question that perhaps comes in our minds, the answer to that question. The question is that we find that many non-believers who don't believe in Allah, atheists, but they are living wonderful lives. They are making, they got a lot of money, they got a very good house, very good car, they are earning, they are living it up. How come Allah is feeding them when they don't even believe in Allah Ta'ala? One simple answer, the prisoners who are in jail, the government is not happy with them. That they stole, they robbed people, they killed somebody, they did all wrong things. But the government is paying them free of charge, giving them food free of charge. And how many people, they do some crime just to get into jail. They say they have free lodging, boarding and lodging. And when we are outside, we have to work hard for our money. And we have to sweat to get our money. You inside, you get your three meals a day. And you get your blankets, and you get your bed, and you get everything there. So, but the government is not happy with the people who are in jail, but they are feeding them. So Allah is not happy with the people who don't believe in them, but He's giving them also. Hey, just like the government is giving those people, Allah is also giving. And the real jail will be after Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam. Then they will suffer there the consequences. So siyam, then all the other ibadat of zakat, think of the poor people also. Don't just eat yourself. And Islam makes so little zakat, only 2.5%. And not 2.5% of what you got, taxes on all your money. But this 2.5% is which is extra, which you didn't use the whole year. Like for example, beginning of your financial year Islamically, you had $10,000. Whole year passed, you got again 10,000. That means the whole year 10,000 was extra value. You didn't need it for clothes, you didn't need it for rent, you didn't need it for your house, extra it is. And not the whole 10,000 Allah made zakat compulsory, only 2.5%. So merciful is Allah. So He gave us a complete system of Islam where you recognize Allah also. And you make your connection with Him also properly. And in your social life also is seen to. The poor also are seen to. And by fasting, you come to understand how the poor people feel who haven't got any food to eat. When you, Zohar time, lunch time, you are feeling hungry. But you know, by another 3-4 hours, I'm going to make iftar. I'm going to get the best of food. But those poor people who don't see food at all, who don't have got any idea
what will be their condition? So Allah gave us to make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And the other main reason why Allah Ta'ala has created us and put us in this world is not to prepare for the dunya, but to prepare for the akhirah, the real life. And there is nobody who can say that I'm not going to die, that I'm not going to my grave, I'm just going to live forever. Every person knows, no matter how much a person can hate more, and he doesn't want to die, and people are trying their best today, people are paying medical insurances, so that when we are sick, the medical insurance can pay out, that we can be in a coma, and we are in ICU, and they got the support systems, life support, and they got you on a ventilator. They're keeping you just breathing, but you are in a coma. You can't eat, you can't do your own toilet, you can't do anything. But you want to just be alive. So how long are you going to live in any case? And there is no person who has lived forever. Shaitan, Allah gave him chance. Andirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Allah says, go, I have given you chance and you live till the day of Qiyamah. But either besides Shaitan, and nobody would like to be like Shaitan. In fact, the more we like a longer life, the more our desire is that of Shaitan. Shaitan wanted a very long life. And what is he doing with his long life? Not ibadah, but he's going more deeper into the ground and into azab Allah Ta'ala. So it is nothing great to have a long life. Somebody boasts also, I'm so old, I got so many years. That doesn't matter. Whether you got 10 years or you got 100 years, but if you pleased Allah, you made him happy, then that is worthwhile. Whether it was in 10 years you did it, in 100 years you did it, how much you made Allah happy, that is the reason. So we are in this world to prepare for the akhirah. One great pious person, he said a poem in Urdu, it is very beautiful poem. He says, Qadam su'e marqad, our legs are facing towards the qabr. We are all the time walking to the qabr. As we are sitting now also, we are moving. My life is becoming less by 1 hour now, and I'm going closer to my qabr. Everywhere we are rushing and going to work, and we are driving fast and we are overtaking, we are moving to our qabr. And how many people did overtake at the wrong place, head on collision, and the person never reaches job, never reaches workplace, he's gone to the qabr. So we are all the time, when we are sleeping, 6 hours, 8 hours, but our life is coming closer to the qabr. Our time of dunya is going further away, and our destination to Jannah is coming closer and closer all the time. So every moment, qadam su'e marqad, our legs are towards the qabr. Nazar su'e dunya, but our eyes are looking at dunya all the time. More we want, more bigger wages, more investments, more bigger house, more better clothes, dunya. We are going to qabr, we are not preparing for qabr. We are preparing. We have come today from Johannesburg. We left, we are coming to Walvis Bay. Now they tell you, you must fill in the immigration form, for example. That if we fill in the form of Joburg Airport, South Africa, we are coming to Namibia, and we have to fill in the form for landing at Namibia. But we brought a form of Joburg when you return to Joburg, and we filled that form. What you left behind is behind. Prepare for now, what you are going to. So dunya, we are leaving it behind, and we are going to qabr. But we are not preparing for qabr. We are making our dunya more better. My garden must be more beautiful. I must shine my car. Nobody, Islam didn't say you must live dirty. Clean your car, but that's not your object of life. Your object of life is to prepare for akhirat. So that is one very important. So qadam su'e marqad, with our legs we are walking all the time to the qabr. Nazar su'e dunya, we are looking at the dunya. Imagine a person who is driving and not 120 kilometers per hour, 220 kilometers per hour. But he's not looking in front, he's looking at the back, not in the rear view mirrors. If it's possible, and a person could turn his head 180 degrees, and he looks completely at the back and he's driving in front at the speed, what will happen? You don't want to sit with such a driver. Then you say, please drop me off first. There is a very dangerous person here. What will happen? I can't sit with such a driver. He'll kill me. One time, Hazratji was the Amir of Tabligh Jamaat, Maulana Inamul Hasan sir, Rahmatullah Ali. He was in England, in London, and they were taking him to Heathrow Airport. And some people got a habit, this driver, he had a habit of looking around this side, that side, like today's cell phone person is watching, yeah, he's driving also. And with the arm, he's controlling the steering wheel also. Or with his thighs, he's just controlling the steering, but he's busy with the cell phone. Very dangerous driver. So this person also had a habit to look this side, that side. So Hazrat-i Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali saw that he's a dangerous man. He'll take me right to my grave, to my qabr. He told, please just pull up on one side. When he pulled up, then Hazrat-i told him, now as much as you want to look this side, that side, look everything. But when you drive again, concentrate on the road. Don't look this side, that side. Once we were traveling in South Africa, Eastern Transvaal, very beautiful scenery there. So we were a few young people and one old man was with us. And the driver, they're all beautiful. Everyone is looking at the scenery. The mountains, the lakes, the rivers, the ravines, the beautiful valleys at the bottom. So he was also looking. So that old man told him, you just watch the road. You don't look at the mountains and don't look at the valleys. Otherwise, all of us will be down in the bottom there. Eh? So like that we are in this dunya and lot of the temptations of this dunya. To look at the mountains, to look at the rivers, the lakes, no problem, it's jais. But when you're driving and you kill yourself and you kill other people, then it's not permissible. But today in our life, all the other temptations, for pornography, woman, all sports all the time, all dunya's things, and you're not watching the road of akhirah. We are here in this world and we are moving on the road of akhirah, but you're looking at this naked woman, you're looking at porn all the time. All night you are spending on porn, you can't get up for Fajr Sada also. Hey, that is haram, totally haram. You are distracting. So, Qadam Su'e Marqad, Nazar Su'e Dunya. Kidar Ja Raha Hai, where are you going? Kidar Dekh Raha Hai, and where are you looking? Like small children, many times they like to play a game of chasing. International game. We saw in the Haram of Makkah also, when between Maghrib and Isha, after Asr, small children, how they run around chasing one another. And in that chasing, they don't see where they're going also. And there they go and bump against somebody. Sometimes two children, they hit, bump so hard, that loud bang also comes. They are children. They are doing that, they don't see where. They are looking at the back and they are running in front. Whether their friend is catching me or not, they are running in front. We are grown up people, we are chasing the dunya. They play chasing games, we also play chasing games. We are just chasing the dunya all the time. And in that, we also bang our heads very hard. I don't know, yeah, I'm sure, in Walfers Bay also, brothers must be knowing a game which youngsters play, Monopoly. They play, yeah, you know that game? Yeah. So they play that game for 2 hours, 3 hours, and very sadly in Ramzan they play to pass time. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say so beautifully, a person wants to pass his time. He doesn't pass the time, he fails the time. One is pass, that means you pass it. You just letting time pass, you want to time pass. You just pass it. And one pass is opposite of failing. So when you want to pass time, you're just wasting time. You are not passing time, you are failing time. Our example is like one person who is standing at a railway station. And the train, your train, which is meant for you, that means your whole life. If you got 50 years in your life, each year is like one coach. It's like a goods train. And you have to fill up in that train what you're going to use in the afterlife. And as the train is passing your station, your life in dunya, what are you filling in each coach? Are you just letting it go empty? Or are you filling it up with sports? Are you filling it up with women? You are filling it up with all other evil and sin. And when the train, the coach, the train is finished, right at the end, you have to jump on. And the train of yours goes in the qabr. And then you will see that what did I fill up in my train? Did I fill up for my akhirah? Did I send it empty? Did I fill it up with snakes and scorpions and fire? All haram things I did in my life. What did I fill up in my train? And then you'll have to stay with that train of yours in the qabr. Whatever you felt up, Allah gave us the choice. So our object in this world is not just to levitate up in this world, to enjoy here. Our object is to prepare and get the real enjoyment of akhirah. Dunya we think, enjoy it here. For how long? One great pious person says a beautiful poem. He says, look at dunya ke hai ke din ke. For how long is the enjoyment of this dunya? Look at dunya ke hai ke din ke. For how long is this? And this life of this dunya? How? What is it? With another great pious person said, pehle bachpan mein tujhe barso khilaya. First, as a small child, you were just playing childhood. He says, for playing. Even if a child wants to become serious, we say, hey, it's not time to be serious now. You must play. Go. Go play with your children. That's for playing. Pehle bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. Jawani ne aake tujhe majnu banaya. And when you became a young person, a teenager, then you carried on like a mad person. See a teenager, how he drives the car. How his habits are. And a teenager buys torn jeans. And he pays more for it than good jeans. That is it. He buys half socks and he pays more for it than full socks. In this cold, that half socks can't keep you warm also. But you are paying more. That is teenager. His mind is upside down. So, jawani ne tujhe aake majnu banaya, budhapa ne aake phir kya kya sataya. And when you came into old age, how did that old age trouble you? Now your joints are paining. Now your legs are paining. Now your back is paining. When you were young, you just jump off the bed, you're in toilet. 2 minutes, you finish istinja, you finish wuzu also. But now it takes you 20 minutes to come out of the bed. You have to go somewhere with the children, grandchildren. Then when the grandchildren say, granny or grandpa, how long are you taking? We're all sitting in the car for so long, you're not coming out. Old age, budhapa, ne anke kya kya sataya. Ajal kar degi tera bilkul safaya. Then maut will come and you will be completely finished. That all the time you will say, till I will go and open my shop, my family won't eat. Now when you die, the family say, first thing you don't bury him. We can't sort out our matters. First take him, put him in the qabr now. You know why? All were saying, she used to cook the food. If she's not there, who will prepare breakfast? Then, mommy, you have to, this I want for breakfast, I want eggs, I want cereal, I want oats for breakfast. And you say, mommy is no more there, she's dead. We say, first, when bury mommy, then you'll get breakfast. Then she has to be first put away in the qabr. So this is what our life is. What was that other poem I was saying? So this poet says, look at dunya ke hai ke din ke. For how long is the enjoyment of this dunya? Na kho jannat ke maze unke liye. Don't lose the enjoyment of jannat for the temporary and stupid and superficial enjoyments of this dunya. You're having an affair with a woman, you are earning haram money, you're thinking, hey, I'm enjoying. But you are losing the hurul in of jannat, which is forever and ever. Yeah, in this dunya, the more haram you do, your health also, now you got AIDS, now you got HIV, you can't do anything, you are just lying. And even if you don't get AIDS and HIV, you become finished. And now you can't do anything, you need Viagra. Viagra also don't help you. You are finished completely. In Jannah, no Viagra. Your youth will remain forever. The maidens, the beautiful women of Jannah will be virgins forever. And forever and ever, and your stamina and your strength, when you're an old man, what can you do now? You can't do, you just think something, that's all you can do. You can't do anything else, you are finished now. But Jannat, you'll have that stamina, and you'll have that vitality, and you don't have to take any Viagra or anything, you'll enjoy. So, khona Jannat ke maze unke liye. Ye kya e dil, to bas phir you samaj, if you did the stupid thing, and you gave preference to dunya and things of dunya, and you lost your akhirat, you lost your Jannat, to bas dil, to you phir samaj, ke tu ne nada gul diye tin ke liye. Oh stupid and ignorant person, what you have done, realize, you gave away a rose and you took a thorn in its place. To understand this, if your 2-year-old child was playing around in your bedroom, and you forgot to lock your safe, and in your safe you had a diamond, And diamond shines, how beautiful it is. And the two-year-old boy found the diamond. Children like shiny things. And he went and played outside on the road with the diamond. And then the person selling ice cream was going past. And you see this little boy, oh, he's got a diamond. He doesn't know what the value. He tells that small boy, come here, Abdullah, I will give you one ice cream, give me that stone. Ice cream got value in the eyes of the two-year-old boy. That stone, that your boy doesn't know the value. He'll be just too happy to give the diamond and to get one ice cream. But he doesn't know in that one diamond, there are 10 ice cream factories inside there. That he doesn't know. Just like that, we are also more stupid than that small boy. Enjoyment of dunya, sports, and woman, and porn, and dunya, and beautiful car, and fleshy clothing, and fleshy cars. That's what we are going for, but we don't know in our la ilaha illallah, the diamond of la ilaha illallah, in there is our jannat. And we will go to jannat, and forever and ever you will enjoy. So don't lose that jannat for the sake of this dunya. So I'll finish off there now. I'm watching that to watch all the time. I'm seeing it's only 25 past. So I'm seeing what's the long time. Now when I check my time, I see, no, this is Walter's break time. I see. Special time.
Time goes slow, yeah.
It's very slow, yeah. Time goes very slow, Walter's break. So anyway, the main thing why, please think of this. Don't just let it be a bayan when we go outside. We met one another after long, oh, how are you, how are you, you keeping well, etc. And we forget everything. But try and go home, discuss it with our friends, discuss it with the wife, and try and repeat it regularly, that we are in this world first and foremost to recognize Allah. That Allah, we can't see with our eyes, but Allah is there. See Allah Ta'ala. See the workings of Allah Ta'ala. Second is, we are here for the ibadat of Allah. He is our real boss, and we must do his job. And his job is all the ibadat, making our salat, our song, our zakat, our hajj, if Allah gave us the means, etc. And third is, we are not here to enjoy it and live it up in this dunya, we are here in this dunya to prepare for our akhirah. Well, we all try and take that to mind. What's the first thing, inshallah? Already we forgot. To recognize Allah, mashallah. And to know, and that I spoke is nothing. Allah is very, very big. Allah Ta'ala says that all the trees of the jungles of the world, if they become pens to write, and all the oceans of the world, the sea, become ink, and double that amount up, and make it 100 times more, you can't write how great Allah is. Allah is too great. So that must be daily, every day in us, to try and find out more, who is my Allah. Second thing, to work for Allah, to make the ibadat of Allah. And the third thing, to prepare for our akhirah. We will remember three simple lessons, inshallah. Try and revise it. These are the basic things. Till we don't do this, you can't move front. This is the basic thing to understand why we are here. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Fajr, we're going to be making, yeah, Mona? Fajr, what time is Fajr, Mona?
Five.
Inshallah, we will come and we'll have a little program on Zikrullah. Inshallah, we'll make a little bit zikr for a little while. And so try and come for the Fajr program also. Try your best, inshallah. I do understand some brothers are living far. All haven't got transport. But do try and do your best. Try and make some arrangement. It's not every day we come. We came here 3 years ago. Now after 3 years we came. Now we don't know when we will come or some Jamaat or somebody will come, inshallah. But while we are here, try and one day, try and make the sacrifice, inshallah. Try and be here for Fajr, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Oh Allah, let us understand and realize the purpose for which you have put us in this world. Let us not just pass our life and we don't even understand why I am here. Why you have put me here? Let us work on that and understand. And then, oh Allah, for what you have put us for your worship, let us make your ibadah, oh Allah. Let us fulfill your commandments. Stay away from the things that you have forbidden us from doing. And oh Allah, let us prepare for our akhirah. Oh Allah, let us not lose our jannah for the temporary and lousy things of this dunya. Let us prepare for the eternal, everlasting life of the akhirah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. If we don't work for dunya and we work only for dunya
and we don't work for akhirah and the time of what we realize, I wasted my whole life behind a lousy rat. Just a dirty, filthy rat, I wasted my whole life and I lost my eternal life of akhirah.